4D Story is an entertaining way to promote products and services in both online and offline environments by broadcasting a fictional story with characters engineered around real life. 4D Story engages fans and encourages viral sharing.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of 4D Leverage. This is a show where we empower those who are shaping the emerging economy and bringing the ideas of regenerative business and evolved enterprises into our frame of reference and bringing it into our world and showing us there's a better way to do business. Not only is there a better way, but there's a much-needed way. So we are on the edge of that in all of the programs that we put together. And it is Leverage Content Marketing. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Karnika Yashwan, also known as Mr. Keith. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are we clicking technology or something else? I don't know. We'll monitor it as we go. Good morning, Miss. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so good. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. And I believe that clicking is my earrings, so we'll make it go away.
Oh, the earrings. The earrings. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so... And are you in still in California, or are you back home?
I'm in Ojai, California, so I'm in the nest of the hippies, just north of LA.
Very nice, very nice. Well, we this morning are going to be talking about some big words that you threw out here, so I look forward to regenerative quantitative data set. And listening to Karnika this morning, tell us how he literally uses content to shape not just a conversation, but a whole litany of different applications. Content marketing is not only becoming relative to amplify your own voice, but also to leverage it in different ways, to leverage different programs around content marketing, create strategies that extend out from content marketing that allow businesses to have what I call 4D leverage. And so with us along that lines, and the reason we do a lot of that is because we are literally in a place, and this is what's exciting, every time we get together, everything we're doing is shaping tomorrow, the future, the next generation, the way we're both watching what's happening unfold in business and also trying to create our own footprint and our own stamp regarding the trends towards a more robust economy that gives back, that creates this kinetic regeneration and has this ability to sustain itself and repair itself long term for both the planet that we are taking care of, both for our friends and our families, and also just for, I sometimes like to think of it as just the posterity of doing what's right, you know, of just making a better system. And with what he has brought to the table along the lines of a business model that adds sustainability and regenerative principles both within and without, it pleases me to know that my children are sitting here as our new guests, as guests with us today. Howie is 7 and Caleb is 11. Right now they are 7-11, and yes, they are open 24/7. But I'd like to introduce them. Caleb, say hi.
Hello.
And Hallie.
Hi.
And what I brought them on for, other than the fact that we had an opportunity to be together this morning, no, I didn't make them ditch school for the radio show, but I would do something like that. Because this is why we're shaping. This is why we're showing up in the world every day, putting forth by faith, by belief, and through immense creative measures. This is why we're saying we got to step out of the existing paradigm and into another one. Right, Samantha? I mean, there's got to be a motivation here. I'm looking at two of them.
Well, I mean, for me, it's kind of simple. Like, I just want to see things that work for people and for the planet. And at this point on our planet, it's not going to work for people unless it works for the planet. So the motive is a motive of survival and thrival and creating a great way forward for your kids and other kids and for all that we've already built so it can continue to evolve.
Nice. And Karnika, there's no doubt that each individual voice, each business is going to have their own part in this. And content marketing plays such a huge role in making sure we can roll out our beliefs and roll out our active components that we are all working on individually or as an individual business in order to impact this regenerative economy. What are some of the active ways that content marketing plays a role in allowing someone to shape a voice and a message that actually can create some sort of a shift in the economy towards this regenerative model?
Right. We are in a time in the world where the paradigm shift is happening every moment, and it's so wide and so different that it's very hard for most people to cope up with. I mean, just imagine the time when computers came and people were so frightened one side of the world and the other side they were so excited, and there are few people who could embrace it so well, and still there are people who are struggling to embrace that trend of computers and internet and all these that came after it. But right now we are in a point in time where things are happening much faster. You don't have decades to embrace some new trend. You don't have a lot of time for you to cope up with something that's coming up. You need to get along with it immediately, ASAP. Otherwise, you're going to be outdated. And right now, the risks are increasing on the other side. In the past, if you do not know computers, you would still work around in the world with something or other. But right now, with new things that's coming up, if you do not know that, you're replaced. You're laid off in the next moment, in the next few days and months and so on. So now, content marketing has a responsibility to educate people, to nurture people, to get them to see something even before it comes. With all the new trends that's coming up, you and me, we are not going to be frightened by it because we are already adopted to it. We know what it is. We are familiar. We are not frightened. It's not something that's alien to us. But what if the same effect is there on all this 7 billion people? They would be happy to embrace it. And that moment of satisfaction, that feeling of, belonging to something bigger than being threatened by something is much better. And that is something that comes as part of content marketing, which is in every business. Every business is adopting this model to make sure that the shift is comfortable for everyone. So right now, there's been this trend where disruptive innovation at many points did not work out. The innovation, that invention which they came up with was disruptive. It was like never seen before. But the problem was people were not ready for it. People thought that is going to do more bad than good, or people had no confidence in it, or people thought it is so different that it might not work. So the disruptive innovation by itself had a lot of struggles and hurdles before it could come to life. And the success rate with that disruptive innovation model was very less. I mean, of course, the big ones, they are multi-billionaires right now. They went well, but there were 99% of other disruptive innovators and scientists and products and services and models of business and economy which never surfaced or never came up to life because of the way it posed itself. So content marketing right now is going to make that easier. Even if it is world-changing, educate people, get people to embrace it, make it a process which they are comfortable with. When they are comfortable emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in terms of the concept, and they know and believe that it helps them, they're convinced with it, then the product by itself works. Right now, you have crazy things like with all the 4D environments coming up. You have, yesterday I saw this beautiful product where I can sleep and work. It's a beautiful workplace where you can sit and the laptop and everything that you have goes upside down. If you want, you can be 180 degree upside down and still keep working as if you're working when you're straight and sitting. So that entire workspace shifts around in any manner that you want it to be. You have all these crazy big missions in this under the water generating electricity more than what we currently need. And this driverless cars and the electric cars, they're all coming in, the entire home powered by electric batteries and, all this crazy innovations. And right now, they're all supported by one thing. They start by educating people. They start by saying people what it is that brings about this innovation. Why did they even start doing it? Why it helps? They gather the social proof. They gather the the affirmations from people. They get people to agree. They get people to support the cause rather than the product. The innovation is no more a money-making product, but it is a cause and a moving product by the soul of every individual who supports it and who joins hands to bring something new to the world. And that process can only happen with content marketing being the core and center of it.
Oh, Karnika, I never fail to get a good answer out of you, right, Samantha? Samantha, there is a regenerative, the word regenerative, along the lines of tying into what Karnika just said, that word regenerative, you know, you impress upon us all the time because it's this idea of finding yourself, getting back, and then allowing that to nurture yourself. But can you take and expand on that in light of what you just said around quantitative data sets? And you're going to have to tell us what that is first.
Well, there's a set of ideas about what is regenerative, what is nurturing, sustaining, supportive of positive outcomes and impacts in the marketplace and in our own lives. And there's what makes it possible. So for me, the concept of regenerative is both an internal game that it's about a transition of self towards playing a game that is net positive and, in my world, soul-based, that allows us to express our joy and our creativity and our true nature more fully as our lives and our businesses and our relationships. And it's an external game that chunks down to how are we designing our economy? How are we designing our systems, our built environment, our computing environment, our economy, like our currencies, our leadership strategies? How are we designing our sewage systems? How are we engaging our food system? And is that healthy both for my body? Food is a great place to come into a conversation about regenerative design, or water. Is it healthy for my body and my internal game of optimal wellness? And is it healthy for the environment, for the ecosystem, for the planet and the place that I live, for the animals who also need that water, for the green of the earth without which the rain doesn't come down? So conceptually, there's a set of broad stroke design principles that are encoded in permaculture, in biomimicry, in holistic rangeland management, which is a social and, I won't go into it right now, but there's many, many templates for whole systems regenerative design in the outer game. But by themselves, they're just theoretical templates. The rubber hits the road when we start to map the actual impacts quantitatively, not just qualitatively, but quantitatively. So, for example, my friend Art Ludwig is like the rock star of rock stars around watershed restoration in Southern California, around sequestering more water into the ground than he uses in his house. His house now, they know that his home environment actually sequesters, which means gathers into the ground 50% more water than it uses in a year. That's huge. Like in Southern California, where most the cities, the agriculture, it's all sucking water out of Northern California that doesn't actually exist here in the South. So to come up with design strategies that gather the water off the roof and gather the water out of the air and gather it all and give it back to the land, it means you can grow vegetables without watering them. It means that you can turn around the metrics on water use. And if we applied that to every home that, you know, in the area, what we get is a new jungle. Like what we get is the greening of Southern California. And you can only achieve that by really figuring out how to measure it and do it and execute it. So regenerative design is both broad stroke principles that we can embed in the story structure that we can bring forward to people, and that becomes a new template for education and for assuming what is best practice in any business or initiative. It also, we require the metrics to actually achieve the outcomes. Otherwise, you can get very lazy, and we see the greenwashing of products, and we see all kinds of things in the world that are touted as the new sustainable solution, but they're actually not sustainable. They're certainly not regenerative. So it's the new direction things actually need to go if we want long-term or even mid-term thrivability for our cities and, you know, our agricultural system, our water system. We're heading into a time when we'll either see water wars and food shortages, or we'll see whole new ways of design that will create a whole new pattern for human settlement and business.
And what all this brings to mind is that, I mean, it's really the whole reason we exist on the radio show here, and it's the whole reason, it's a big part of what we're approaching in business here, is that we are moving to a new, not just a new economy, but a new paradigm, a new way of thinking about it all. And then we're currently in this other paradigm, this paradigm that basically before said, you know, it wasn't regenerative. It was more about consuming and to a point of self-satisfaction and not worrying about that regenerative piece.
I mean, if I could add something, James, capitalism in and of itself is amoral. And what's so cool about regenerative design of anything is that regardless of whether you get into a moral conversation, it's actually where long-term and mid-term profitability lie. Because, you know, in terms of the whole system of our planet, we're starting to reach maximum capacity on basic resources. So we can either keep mining it and destroy the oceans and destroy our biosphere, and we'll all die. It's actually true. You know, or we get to turn it around and look at mid-term, long-term profitability and abundance in terms of thrivability, in terms of a broader metric for what success is and a broader metric for what profit means. The profit starts to include positive impacts, not just the monetary impacts, but the improvement of people's experiences and of the impacts on our environment.
Right. You know, we're following kind of a pattern here where we basically got to a point where we could pull from the earth and really, you know, create products and the industrial age and everything that goes with the process that it took. And all of a sudden we're out of resources going, we better do something. And, you know, it's kind of like life. We often find ourselves making bad choices until we get put in a corner, and then what happens? Better choices come out of it, and we actually improve, and we go down a better path as a result. So, but again, we're defining the future. We're definitely at an impasse. We're at a decision point, but we're defining the future while standing in the past. And one of the things I want to bring up here and kind of turn this conversation towards is there's a world of business consultants. And they're out there consulting along the lines of profitability. And 99% of them are doing it in the old paradigm because that's where we're at. And they're giving, of course, good direction and information on how to be profitable, how to leverage internet digital marketing, some of these new things that are coming about. But what I believe is happening, and there's a flattening of the impact that some of the business coaching is having. Some business coaching, some sales coaching that's rooted in a variety of digital strategies that suddenly kind of shifted because, number one, everybody knows about it. It's embedded in a lot of software. It's much less spooky to us. But at the same time, now all these coaches are finding that there's nobody that needs what they have. They're having a hard time booking people to listen to what they're teaching. And what I see is that there is going to be a shift towards business coaches that can take people from, as I call it, the 3D model and bring them into the 4D model. I mean, there's a lot of businesses out there that are thinking, well, we're going to continue like we are because they know nothing about what's coming up. They haven't heard a radio show. They haven't, you know, picked up a magazine or searched the internet in such a way that it's brought it into their view that these things are changing and going to probably change abruptly enough to affect them. And there is a world of people on one side that need to cross over to the other side. And I believe the big, at least along the lines of coaching, I think one of the big areas is going to be coaches that rise up and are able to manage and facilitate that transition. And the ones that are going to do the best are the ones that can transition a company from mining the way they currently are, from selling the way they currently are, from marketing the way they, from the entire holistic mindset of the business, to transition them over into a 4D environment where they are being sustainable, they are practicing regeneration. There is lots of programs that are in place that are empowering their people from the inside out, that takes them all the way out to their prospects, their clients, and their mission statement and everything they're doing. I believe that the business coaches that can help them make that transition while keeping them profitable, or even by leveraging that and turning them more profitable quickly, those are the ones that are going to rise to the top of the business coaching world. Because right now we already see business coaching kind of getting wrapped up with a lot of done-for-you type services in order to sustain the practice, and it's becoming more of a support mechanism, just pure coaching. But when we get to a place where there are coaches or teams of coaches that are transitioning businesses into the 4D environment profitably, I think that's when we're going to see I think that's where the visible, more popular kind of environment will come from, or as it emerges, we'll start seeing those coaches help facilitate that, and I think that'll start bringing everything in a little more into the open air. Karnika, I know you have input on this idea of just this of being able to empower people, empower business coaches specifically, to bring a company, whether it be a starting out entrepreneur or a startup or a bigger company who is wanting to turn their entire ship into this direction, on how we're going to do that and how content marketing, of course, plays a critical role right in the middle of this transition, because we have programs that allow for this holistic side to come out, for this, for all these pieces to work together. And building that bridge seems
right.
So cool. And building people that can help build that bridge.
Right. So right now the marketplace is structured in a way where everyone is dependent on someone else. They are leveraging someone else, or they trust someone else other than them. So the business coaches, for example, they play a very vital role. Every business coach, at least they affect the life of 10 other businesses in a year. And some of the coaches, it can go up to as high as, you know, 50, 100, thousands of businesses in a year. So it is very essential for them to know what is the trend that's coming up, and for them to adopt the trend, which can really help them to pass that on to all these other people. So when you talk about any industry, for that matter, holistic, they're all trying to do something great. They're trying to impact lives of so many people, but that can become easier when they go with the flow that's happening right now. And when it comes to the business coach, they are setting up the foundation, the marketing pieces, the business pieces, how a business should approach. They are setting up the heart and soul of a business. And if they integrate content marketing in a more holistic way, rather than trying to just utilize it like a tool, if they start to adopt it as a lifestyle of the business, they try to bring that into the model how the business is constructed, with using content marketing as its base or a foundation or the outline within which they fit in the, you know, the people part of it, how they engage with people inside and outside, or the marketing aspect, how do they communicate a message both inside and outside, or when it comes to their highest vision, how do they utilize the content marketing to get their vision out, or how do they utilize content marketing to bring their vision to reality. So if they start using content marketing as the baseline with which they compare and integrate every part of their business, they would come to a point in time where they have this beautiful plan where it is just one flow. It doesn't have 300 different pieces, but just one flow. And when they do this in a paper with all the right things jotted down, it's a magic. You know, at that point, they would know they would have only one task. We have that one clean task to get the message out using this particular process in a very predictable form. And that is so powerful because they end up achieving all parts of their goals. They end up hiring the right people. They end up communicating the right message. They end up attracting the right clients. They end up attaining their vision. They end up doing everything that the business needs to do because it's all integrated into this one process. Content marketing to them and to this evolving trend, and especially to the business consultants, coaches, and mentors, this is only one tool. This is the only tool they need. This is beyond the tool. This is the lifestyle that they need to adopt. And when they do that, it changes how the entire market is going towards. And before I end my commentary here, I'd just like to add a big up to Mr. Dan from UK. He is listening to the show right now. He's so excited, and he has been asking me to shout out from the show for a long time. He is a media buying guru and a good friend of mine and my colleague. And I'm receiving a lot of shout-outs from different people from across right now. They want me to they're all excited with what we're talking. They completely resonate with the trend of what we are trying to get across here.
Well, that's awesome. And I think that there's a lot of people that are resonating with it but don't fully grasp or engage. Samantha, what is like one of the biggest things that keep people, are people just not aware of these things, or do they ignore it, or is there a barrier that keeps them from coming over? You know, I see that what we're really ending up with is, in this new paradigm, we end up with an entirely new language. There's an entire glossary of understanding. There's a level of appreciation for the natural and spiritual laws that come into play. There's a desire for and an awareness of the situation. And, you know, I'm sitting here with my son, Caleb. He's 11. He's pretty bright. But I would imagine Caleb does not miss the mark too much as far as how far off he might be from understanding the regenerative economy. Now think, in 7 or 8 years, he's going to be, you know, looking at being on his own and potentially doing his own business. He's a pretty entrepreneurial type of kid. And he's going to be faced with the very midst of, being in the midst of all this. And yet, I think he's very representative of what a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business people, simply how they perceive what the coming days will be like, or what this shift into 4D really looks like. He just made a comment about the 3D and the difference between 3D and 4D, or the old economy and the new economy, and I thought it was cool. What did you say?
I said the old paradigm, or whatever you want to call it, is kind of like, is now a soda without its fizz. I mean, you still get the taste of it, but it doesn't have that nice poppy feel. Like, it just doesn't really pop at you.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
It's such a great metaphor. Oh, my God, Caleb, you're so on it. So on it. I think you'll agree with this, that the barrier, I think the strongest barrier to the new paradigm is consciousness and people's innate desire for safety and to engage the known. And the other side of it, in the new paradigm, it really is an economy of growth and adventure. You know, James, you use the word growth a lot. And I think from the perspective of the internal game, the biggest barrier is consciousness. And that's part of why 4D marketing is so exciting, because we get to engage people with their own self-evolution. We get to engage people with how pleasurable and fun and interesting it is to grow and innovate. We get to engage people with really how much more joyful the human experience is when our imagination and our co-creative capacity with other people is awake and alive and activated. And then from an external game, what were you going to say?
Totally.
I mean, I work with a lot of 20-somethings, and Go ahead.
So I'm just saying we're touching on a very important piece of the 4D economy, of the 4D approach, and sometimes we get so buried in our adult minds and our thoughts and our strategies that we forget a lot of what motivates innovation comes from the desire for an entertainment base, right? Curiosity, experience, having
something to do.
Fun that I can see that comes out of what we're doing. If it's not building something new, if it's not meeting new people, it gets wrapped up in just the way we approach things, right? I mean, even 40 Story.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say it's a desire for innovation, not a desire for entertainment, because entertainment, by definition, well, not by definition, but entertainment tends towards the passive. And where we're going tends towards the active. It's like why we love Mr. Key so much. Because
well,
Mr. Key is always...
I was just saying active entertainment. You might have coined a new word there.
I wouldn't use the word entertainment. I would use the word engagement. Personally, I think that... Well, entertainment is not a bad word, but... I think where we're going is towards self-innovation, like where we're going is towards entertainment is an outcome of an experience of joyful creativity. And it's one of the outcomes.
Right, and that's what I'm in this climate of creativity, in the climate of how we find entertainment or what we consider exciting, any entertainment is creativity or any experience I have. That's the entertainment I'm talking about, not so much sitting in front of a TV, if you will. I mean, there is this level of, hey, you can literally get up every day and pursue something that is bigger than, you know, the best 3D TV out there or whatever the case is.
It's kind of a game, but it's active. And there's going to be this, at least all Pokemon fit in Tokyo. I'm going to start playing a game a little bit. Called Pokemon Go, they say, and it's basically geocaching, but on your phone, and so it's like Pokemon, you can find Pokemon around the world, and I believe you have to buy the Pokeballs and stuff, but I won't get into, I don't know, but, you know, it's kind of like the same thing, it's active gaming, basically, is what it's active gaming is.
I have a question for you, I have a question for Caleb.
Okay.
We're all so excited, this is so exciting. Caleb, here's my question to you. So what do you think is that active gaming then gave you real-world gaming opportunities to, like, do good or real-world gaming opportunities to, like, give to your neighbor or engage a gifting process where, like, you get more points if you give more, or you get more points if you make more people happy, or you get more points if you tell a story to people and they tell you a story back and the two of you make the story together to weave the 4D story forward? What do you think of that?
Well, that actually sounds quite cool. So, oh, wait, what if we create a game? Oh, gosh, my creativity is coming up. What if we create a game where you have the app open, and it's almost like a 40 social media site, but you and another person, or it could be just you, create a story, and you post it, and it's a whole basically Facebook of just stories upon stories of people who just get an account, log on, for another episode of their story out, like my dad's gonna do with he calls them 40 stories, and so he's just gonna release them on social media every so often. So that was, he just built his own social media platform, and then he can have a bunch of people basically make 40 stories, and he has to do less work. And then every time they make a new story, they get more points, and with those points, they can buy objects.
All right, so,
well, what if we gamify the real-world impacts? Like, what if you get more points if it's actually changing something in the world, like outside of the screen?
Yeah.
So what if you, okay, so let's give it to Sam. I know you're going with this, man. That's brilliant. What if you, like, you have this Pokemon game where you're physically engaging, right, the game itself. But what if the engagement was around doing good? Or helping others, or helping the planet, or helping some element of the life around
you. You really should watch Pokemon Go.
I guess. Pokemon.
And this, you guys, this relates to the what I was going to say about the outer game. Like, I think the biggest barrier to transitioning to a regenerative economy on the outer game level is our currency and our current way of doing economy. So if we were to gamify, like, get people involved in a gamified platform where, like, the big, big bonus points come from doing real-world good, that then gives a values-based, merit-based currency to people that is different than dollars and expands the economy into a multiple currency economy.
I think, Samantha, you really got a huge win. You really got me thinking there. Because right now, with the way the virtual reality is coming up, you almost can ensure that the VR device can, if let's say I'm having the VR in my head, I'm just walking around, and if I could link that with augmented reality and come across a mechanism where if I'm going on the street, I can see there's a trash down. The trash is something that I can pick up, and as soon as I pick that up and throw in the right place, I get some extra points, social points. And easily, everything out there, like, you know, it could be a trash or it could be helping somebody out, it can be figured out and worked out in a particular way through which you can gain social points. So what you're saying is possible. It's a lot of work. It's a huge effort, but it is not impossible. It is very much possible, and we are already on its way. You know, and you have these cryptocurrencies right now. So you could even convert that into a beautiful cryptocurrency. If all the people on a very collective way are helping the government keep things better or helping someone or something in a better way, they definitely can share the money instead of paying for getting that cleaned up, or instead of paying for getting a task done, they can crowdsource it through all the augmented reality guys who's wearing the device, or through virtual reality, they can get a lot of tasks done and give them all the cryptocurrencies or virtual cash. And yeah, it is powerful. It's more of a gamification for social cause. It makes more sense because you don't only feel the satisfaction of doing a cause and a result or an impact in the world, but you also feel fun while doing it. It is no more monotonous. It's not boring because it's a game. You play the game, and it's exciting that way.
Exactly. I think human beings are innately altruistic. We just don't have the right structure of reward and benefit embedded in our economy yet. So if we embed that in the economy, we get a much cooler experience of being humans.
But the way we do that, or at least from the level that we are approaching it, is to integrate this exact logic into each customer, into each client, in each business, because there isn't, you know, we're not waiting for one global entity to form that we all follow. We're all taking these individual roads towards the same place, if you will, and that innovation is what creates, you know, all the excitement, puts the fizz in the soda, if you will, that each business, because we work with a lot of businesses where, you know, the traditional paradigm of sales is to take your product and put it in front of them and dance it around until, you know, you strike the right emotion and there's a connection. But the way we kind of go about it, in almost that, Garnica was talking about the upside down, you know, working on your computer upside down before, the way we approach it is kind of upside down, in that we ask people, and this is kind of what I define the elements of 4D to be about, it's about caring about people. It's about caring about their ultimate destiny, their ultimate goals, their ultimate blueprint. And we break that down into understanding what it is that they want. I don't care if it's a multi-million dollar business or a high-level executive or whatever, and it's obvious what, you know, their business agenda is, but what is their personal agenda? What really is the desire that's at the deepest level for accomplishment or for belief in what we're doing? And it's amazing how far down a path we can get, and that little hidden component inside of each of us, which is ourselves, gets hidden. It gets you know, manipulated or whatever the case may be, but it doesn't truly get expressed by each individual. So what we do is we go towards a business and we want to understand that. We want to understand why they're doing what they're doing, what emotional connection they're trying to have with both their prospects and internally. But the reason we do that is because that is where it starts. Now, we move that out into the world. We get that message of what they're doing out there in alignment with the products that they have. And the next thing you know, at the far end of that, when it's established that way, you now have opportunity to contribute in whatever element that your business in this entire puzzle fits, you're able to contribute with these new leading-edge kind of technologies and ideas. You're able to gamify whatever your paradigm is. I mean, when we talk philosophically and we think about what the future would look like, we tend to talk about it like someone else is going to set that up. But really, in each business, we should be looking at what is our sustainability model, what is our regenerative model, what is our holistic model. How do we empower our people and cause that to flow all the way out to our prospects and through the product, et cetera? I mean, these kind of approaches need to be systematically worked into each of our individual businesses. So when we approach a business, the question is not, let me show you what we can do for you, what our product can do for you, how this can help you. Yeah, yeah, sure. Fair enough. I forgot I got this little line on my shoulder. But the question is, what do you want to do? What really do you want to get accomplished? What expression do you want to make? Because I believe the power of this process that we're going through, this progress, the transformation, it's all individual. And it's all individual. Starts at that core of creativity, that core of thought, that core of who we are. And then it gets expressed through a systematic process, right? Professionalism and all the things that we put into a business infrastructure. But when it starts there and we motivate that and build it into each relationship, then what happens is we start to create our own story and our own network of people that are telling the same story, and that becomes a powerful movement that connects with another movement. And I believe that's how that ultimately that shift happens, which is why I go back to the whole emphasis of this show is the idea that business coaches are going to come out and they are going to help us do that. They're going to put those individuals into perspective with this entire philosophy. And when they do, it only takes a single individual to ignite the world. And that's what's going to happen. Each person is going to shape their corner of the world, if you will. And ultimately, because we're all moving in the same direction, it really is amazing as you talk to different people. How many different people have come to the point of the conversation that you're at from different perspectives? And this is such a large body of work that we're approaching that seems to be the most efficient way to approach it, and also the most gratifying, and ultimately, just like with all marketing business, focusing down in that tight, narrow focus is what is profitable. But I believe it starts with each of us and knowing who we are, and then from there recognizing that we can build a complete network, a complete system that reflects that and offers those exact same principles across our entire company, the constituents of everybody that buys from us, and ultimately from there be able to impact the world.
James, I mean, to add to that, I think that the new coaching and business consulting environment is two things. It's working with individuals and single companies. It's also, like my friend David Hofstetter has a company called Refugio Resources. It's also a process of engaging larger collaborative webs and clusters of business within a certain sector to create an ecosystem of businesses that work together to transform whole sectors. Because a lot of what we're talking about now, like it will happen both through individuals, and it will necessarily and require and thrive only when we get vertical integration through whole sectors. So particular businesses are rising that have particularly disruptive innovations in the marketplace. For example, my friends just launched MediMeals, which is launching internationally. It's a company that they take organic food, they package it in sendable boxes. This food is medically certified as a prescribable health protocol by doctors to support people to transition from the pharmaceutical paradigm to a paradigm of healthy lifestyle. And it integrates large-scale sourcing from the organic market into people's kitchens with a minimum of food waste, it also means that people can have a solution for, like, hey, I'd like to heal my body, I'd like to live a better life, and their doctors can prescribe it and the insurance companies will pay for it. Like, that business is brilliant. It hits a lot of bells on the head all at once in terms of disruptive innovation in the food marketplace as well as in the medical marketplace simultaneously. Similarly, or in kind of a different angle, if you're doing something where, like, your supply chain isn't integrated, say you're in the food industry and you can't integrate your supply chain with organics at some level of the supply chain, that's a failure of vertical integration in a regenerative economy. So where we're going also requires a huge, like, a gentle degree of steerage and collaboration amongst related players in the business ecosystem. And so that's the other direction coaching is going. It's going towards supporting the evolution of those collaborations and synergies amongst players in clusters within players within certain sectors in the economy. So it's a very multi-stakeholder process to transition the energy system, to transition the food system, to transition how we work with water or waste. These are huge opportunities in the marketplace. The biggest opportunity in mining is our landfills. It's not new mining. It's to go back into the landfills and mine what we've already taken out of the ground. Like, that's massive big business waiting to happen. But it will require a lot of collaboration to get there.
Sure.
I have a question here. I have a question here to the little guests that we have on the show today. I would like to understand, you know, because the perspectives that we come in is very different. We are at a different point in time in our lives, and there are things that we would not end up seeing in the world happening, which you both have the opportunity to actually witness. So from where you are, and after listening to all these trends that's happening, the shift in the economy and all these things, I mean, where do you find yourself a few years from now? And, you know, even few years from now, you would still be within the education system. So how do you see all these affecting the education system and further changing how you end up working or being an entrepreneur? How do you see all the shift affecting you as an individual in the years to come? Because you have a long life ahead of you.
So you're asking me, how do I think this business is going to affect me and my...
Just the economy in general, the way the world is going, just the way that, you know, you hear me talking about 4D and that a lot of things are shifting and changing. You know, what's interesting is don't...
Okay, so how do I think they're regenerated?
Yeah, see, they don't live... I don't know. This is, you know, Kanika, you bring up a good question, maybe a little over his head, but here I think is the reason. What is your perception of the way the world is?
Not the best it can be.
Okay, why?
It's
I mean, what are the things that affect you in your daily life? How does the economy?
Is just life in general will affect you?
What do you see around? What do you see other people dealing with? The way the world's set up. What do you think could be better? What do you think?
I think kids at school who aren't let's say. I don't know how to put this, but, like, they're a little more inappropriate than others.
They're not aware, maybe, of...
They're not aware of how far, where the light is.
Okay.
Because in the boys' bathroom...
Not sure where we're going here.
I don't know if I even want to say this.
So let me ask this. How aware are kids of just what's going on in life and going on in business and going on... How much do you guys get kind of... How much do you hear about life outside of, you know, we're talking about gaming, and we know a lot of kids game. Do you hear a lot through the gaming and through YouTube?
A lot of the kids at my school, from what I can see, probably don't really know much at all about business and entrepreneurship.
Okay, but how about outside of life? Do they understand what forces affect the way they live and the things that they live?
I get it.
Okay. And I think... maybe what alludes to your question there has to do with, you know, here, and this is very interesting, here we are
with a generation that within a few years will be like taking the reins of contributing to these ideas, and a lot of them don't even know where we currently are. They don't know what some of these problems are, because a lot of what happens is I think we to some degree shroud you from it. We protect you. We don't even want to spend the time to try to explain it. I don't know what the deal is, but it changes the way that you perceive what, you know, would become, and along that line.
Xander, I believe, is the...
Great.
But I just think that he is, out of everyone in there, me and him probably know the most about business.
Right, right. You guys are kind of business oriented. So from that perspective, what do you, if I tell you it is your responsibility as you do business to give back, it's your primary responsibility to find a way to serve humanity and those around you, and it's not all about you. It's not all about putting money in your pocket. It's about generating the kind of entity around you, if you're a business builder, that adds value to the world overall.
What you're doing right now is basically that.
Yeah, I trained him well. But you have a responsibility as an entrepreneur moving forward. Your responsibility is greater towards Randy than it even is towards your bank balance. Your social answer when people say, what do you do in business, is in the future not going to be how you make money. It's going to be how you spend that money. You're going to be held socially, to a great degree, socially responsible for that answer. How do you feel about having to carry the weight of that responsibility? And how would you carry it? And here's how I kind of wanted to end the show. I'm curious between you and Samantha and Karnika, because I know all of you have your perspective on gamifying. What if you were to gamify your future? What would gamifying life or gamifying your future, with all of this that we just talked and kind of answer Karnika's question in this, how would you go about gamifying the future to ensure all of these things came about in the lives of
So basically you're asking
business.
Me how games could change everything?
However you want to interpret it, go for it. No, how would you take games and change it?
Oh, gosh.
Well, was that Howie? What? Nice and loud.
Yes,
she's the shy one. But I think she's the shy brilliant. What'd you say?
Make it real.
Make real life Pokemon. This is what the 7-year old.
Okay. That brings to mind. I've always had this wish that Pokemon would create these machines throughout the world, battle machines, where they actually have a little like on the back of every Pokemon card or on the front, wherever they want to put it. But they'll have like this what do you call it that you scan at the grocery store, the little symbol on the
UPC code. UPC code. Barcode.
Barcode. Have a barcode on every Pokemon that is a special number only to that card that tells you what the moves is, what the attack damage, everything, like the Pokemon TCG online game. But it's around the world, so you insert your card into the machine, you can stick virtual reality headsets on, look at the guy next to you while your Pokemon are shown through your eyeglasses, or through the
virtual reality lenses
that you have on, so you can see the two battling, and so can the other guy if he has his on, and you get to use your card. And then you can apply it into the actual card game where you have a deck and everything. And you can draw, and then you can actually insert it into the thing, and then just make active Pokemon more VR.
That sounds pretty exciting. You know, as you were talking earlier about gamifying life, Samantha, along the lines of every time you do good, there is a bigger conversation about as technology molds into the fabric of the Internet of Things, if every single piece of trash, if every single thing that we created has some sort of contextual reference, then that kind of a calculation, I guess you could say, could be done. But it's interesting.
I think we're heading towards we have the internet, and now we're going to have the internet, which also is like dovetails with VR softwares and VR technologies. Like, what's the inner, what is going really into our co-creative narrative around the gamification of reality? And then we'll have the outer net, which is what you do in the networked outer world. Like, to have the internet, the internet, and the outer net all at the same time integrated into playing a regenerative game sounds pretty good.
There you go. That sounds like pretty right on, like, with where we're going. And I'm looking into the future at a business coach who knows how to gamify a company's mission and their theme and their purpose. That sounds like an exciting intersection, right?
I believe Wildcard over here has a little idea that he wants to share.
We call Hallie Wildcard, so here she goes. There should be a 4D Pokemon. Do you hear that?
I think.
Is that even possible?
It is possible, yes, and then you'd find me disappearing.
So she said the more money.
Don't disappear.
So she just said the more money you make, the more power you have. And this is my point all along. 4D story, the idea of 4D characters, the idea of having yourselves knowing your 4D character and who you are, is so critical, because truly that's what they want to engage with from a physical, like you said, the outer net and the internet needs to resonate with their own internet. Did I get that right? But it's true. And when that clarity happens, I think that right there is the magic point. That's the connect. That's exactly what we're doing. That's the connection that we are trying to make between corporations, between businesses, between ideas, and between people. Because at that high level, the more you succeed, the more power you have, and the more responsibility you have towards society, but the more ability you have to actually leverage what you know, to connect people. And it really does just get right back to that idea of being yourself, being with people, and recognizing that with the proper alignments, you can get anything done. And so I know the key difference media, and I'm going to let Karnika kind of leave us here. Tell us, Key, how does key difference media come up to a business coach and empower them for whatever approach they either want to bring to their clients or allow their clients to bring to them? What kind of infrastructure do we have available?
Right.
To support him in that effort on the physical side.
Right. So to us, you know, to a business coach, we are a one-stop shop. When they work with us, when they get in touch with us, they leverage all the resources, knowledge, expertise, and everything else that we have got over the last decade using content marketing to power up businesses and help them to succeed. They can leverage us from the strategy to help their clients succeed. When they create anything and everything, when they consult their clients, when they work with their clients, at all stages we can be of ultimate support to them, which at one point would set them apart from every other business coach, because out there they're all doing the same thing. They're all talking, they're consulting, they're giving advices, but when the client really goes out and tries to hire someone to execute something, that gets so messed up that end of the day the client is not continuing with the vendor as well as the business coach because he has burned his money. And that problem is happening because they choose the wrong vendors. They have no experience on choosing it, and the business coach, the scope of their work is again limited to, you know, not managing the project, so it ends up in a place where it's all disintegrated. But when they work with us, it becomes so integrated that the entire plan is built to sustain the business, it's built to bring the business an ROI, and it has the implementation as part of it done for you, is built into it, and they don't have to go out and search for anyone else. They don't have to waste their time trying things and testing things out and anything else that goes along with it. So they save a lot of time, emotions, and stress, and all they end up receiving is ROI. That's the only objective that the business coach, us, Key Difference Media, and the client as a business, we all travel to it. You know, forward to. And here,
yeah,
this business coach has different principles. He is going to be following what is futuristic, not something that's dead and old. He doesn't have to go and start learning and re-educate himself. He has Key Difference Media. He almost stands on the shoulder of giants, and he starts off in a big way and goes all the way to hi-fi. And he also makes money through the process. He's profitable in the journey as well.
And we always tell people, if you can think it, if you can conceive it, we can achieve it. Because literally, we bring to bear all of the functionality to put into play any idea that will take you from the 3D to the 4D world. We're going to say goodbye now, and we just went off air. That was our closing. But thank you all for being here today. Hallie and Caleb, thank you for being here. Say goodbye.
Bye, Hallie.
You can think that you can get it. They're a little bit restless now. This has been an amazing conversation, and I think we come up with 5 or 6 other shows that we could talk about. This gamification piece is very exciting, of course, as well. And I've been listening to a lot more around the internet about gamification, and it's really starting to take hold at some pretty high levels in organizations.
It's huge. What I love is I trust this team to be really agile. Like, I really trust the agility that we represent. And Karnika, it's so, like, both of you are just fantastic. Both of you are fantastically agile entrepreneurs and surfers of the new economy with me. I'm so happy that we have opened these doorways today. It's like, awesome conversation.
Well, that's awesome. That's what we're here for. Well, and again, to those who are listening, as a business coach, the idea that you can go in and not only instruct your clients on how to prosper, how to transition, how to transform, all these other things, but you can also go in and say, now we can put it into action. We can actually do something with it. All right, Samantha, we're going to get out of here. The recording will stop when we go, and we will close the door quietly behind us, but we'll leave the light on to talk to anybody. Again, next Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. on the 4D Blog Talk Radio program of 4D Leverage. Thank you, and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.